Hello and welcome to God Is In The TV Recommends, a new podcast where we recommend new songs for you to listen to. And then we chat about them afterwards as well. Yeah, that's the concept anyway. Today I've got one of our writers. His name is Jim Orton. How you doing, Jim?
I'm all right. How are you, Bill? How are you?
Not too bad. You're actually not one of our writers. You're actually the live...
I'm the live
sub-editor. I downplayed your role.
Never mind. I'm a live sub-editor sometimes. No.
Yeah. So what we're going to do, we're going to choose some tracks each, and then we're going to talk about them. They're recent songs, and we hope you enjoy the show. So we're going to kick off with a bit of Fight Milk, and I'm starting to think you don't even want to go to space. Yes, it's a tongue twister, but it's a mighty fine track. I'm starting to think you don't even want to go to space, is it?
Yes.
Go to space. So Fight Milk, they've been around a few years, haven't they? They're from London. They're kind of a power pop indie band. What would you describe them as?
Yeah, I was going to go with power pop, but they're sort of like, they're almost like a 90s grunge edge to them as well. There's the bit that leads into the chorus has got quite a sort of like a hard, or even out of the chorus as well. It's like a hard sort of, not just like a 90s sort of grunge-esque sort of edge to that. that's a bit, I think, sort of almost like the verses are a bit more sort of gentle compared to some of the other stuff they've done. They're a bit more sort of louder power pop, sort of hard, with a harder edge. But that's got a bit more to it, I think, as well, that one. I think that's a bit of a, so like you said before, a step up.
Yeah, definitely. The stuff I've heard.
Because they've recently signed to Reckless Yes. So I think their next album's going to come out on Reckless Yes.
Sarah runs that, isn't it?
Sarah Lay, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
She's
written for us in the past.
Oh, has she?
The odd thing. Everyone has.
everyone passes through Goddess in the TV.
That's right, yeah. Anyway, back to Fight Milk. It says on their bio that they like running away to solve crimes in Sweden. It's interesting, isn't it?
In Sweden?
Yeah. Bonkers, isn't it?
Not space, then.
Yeah, not space like the song.
They're going to Sweden rather than to space.
Well, yeah. Being Swedish is kind of cool, isn't it, now, you know?
That must be the shtick, the Scandinavian shtick.
Yeah, and the singer, Lily, I mean, I've known her for quite a few years. She's sort of associated with the Indelicate somehow.
Okay.
And she had like a solo thing, and her voice was quite interesting. It was kind of like a little bit, so she did like a solo thing. It was kind of like a folky Lily Allen, Laura Marling thing. About 10 years ago. Yeah, that's when I first met her, like came into contact with her. And she was quite like interesting voice and always like kind of a bit of sarcasm about it.
It's definitely a tongue in cheek element.
Yeah.
Obviously talking about going into space anyway, but also the elongated tongue twister of a title. It's not, they're certainly not taking themselves completely seriously.
No.
But the song almost borders on earnest at some points, but it's a tongue in cheek earnest thing.
It's kind of rocking though, isn't it? And it's sing along kind of fair. So I thought that was a good tune. Yeah. I think I'd give it a 7 or 8.
Yeah, I'll go with 7.
On the borderline. 7.5.
7.5. Yeah, we're going to do half marks on the pod.
Why not?
Thank God you're still there. I thought you were nearly gone because my cat just walked across the laptop.
Oh, right. What's your cat called?
Well, the one who did it was Hercules, and he's the smaller one, so we probably got away with that one.
What colour?
He's black and white.
Right. See, because people are more interested in the cat than they are the music, you know.
Exactly, yeah. We'll leave
that
thing in.
When they listen to podcasts. That's the problem. And there's also a guy called Alex, who's also a writer as well, who's in the band. I think he's the guitarist. And they describe themselves as extremely loud and incredibly gross, so they don't take themselves that seriously. If you want to find out more about Fight Milk, you can go to fightmilkisaband.bandcamp.com.
Cool.
Okay. Now, on the next track.
Yeah.
We'll keep in the upbeat theme with a bit of Scrounge, again from London, and Purpose. It's from their new EP, I believe, which is called Ideal. And I'm being cheeky, really, because... the EP's kind of been around for a while, and they're releasing singles off there. They've had a single called Nightstand they recently released.
Yeah.
And Badaboom as well.
Oh, okay.
Badaboom. Badoom. I don't know how you say it. It's good. So they're doing quite well. They're releasing quite a few tracks. They're on Fierce Panda, who release Desperate Journalists as well, don't they?
They're indeed, yeah.
It's all linked. So we're going to have a bit of Purpose now, and we'll come back, and then we'll chat about that.
What did you expect? I don't know, I don't care. I'm sick of being told we can win them all. Bury your head, not a sand, but stone. We're only half as ugly as you want. There's no purpose. There's no purpose. There's no purpose. There's no purpose. The same old faces, drama, the same clouds that they were floating in back when they were young. You can get mileage from your gut ideal, but deep down the world cannot give enough. There's no purpose. There's no purpose. There's no purpose. There's no purpose. sick of being so we can win them all. Bury your head on a sandbird stone. We're only half as ugly as you want. There's no purpose. There's no purpose. There's no purpose. There's no purpose. The same old faces dropping the same clouds that they were floating in back when they were young. You can get mileage from your God idea, but deep down the world cannot give enough.
Scrounge with purpose, urgent and off-kilter, tangled, detuned guitars, spinning out of control, I put in my review. So, yeah, and they're a band on Fierce Panda Records, and they're part of this sort of, like, South London DIY scene, I believe, which you're familiar with, aren't you, Jim?
I'm vaguely familiar, yeah, sort of certain amount. Sort of, they ran the Brixton Windmill area and things
probably,
like that.
Yeah. A lot of bands. That's a great venue, that is, yeah.
It is a brilliant venue, yeah.
I put a few bands on there years ago, and that was really good. I actually made money. I was like, wow, money for promoting. Money. Couldn't believe it.
It always gets packed as well, because it's so small, but it's quite a hip venue, but it's a buzz venue as well. A lot of the you get a lot of the big bands doing the independent venue week gigs there, don't you? So they have a lot of succeed. Like Squid did some things there, and Goat Girl, I think, this year as well. Yeah. This last year or the other.
They used to have barbecues there. I don't know if they still do, but
it's a weird place though. It's almost south, isn't it? You're almost disappearing.
It's miles out, isn't it? It's miles out.
It's disappearing to Croydon.
Yeah, I've actually got a tale, because I put a gig on in there, and it was when we released the compilation. It was over 10 years ago now. And we had a band called the Sailplanes who play quite Sonic Youth as well. You know, similar to Scrounge there. I ended up sleeping in Jim Bob's house from Carter, USM.
That's some of the same scene. Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's a claim to fame.
I know. It's because one of the guys who, Aaron, who's in a band, another band who was sort of associated with the website at one point, he was living there at the time. So that's the reason I ended up staying there. That was over 10 years ago. So, Scrounge and Purpose, what did you think, Jim? Because I've heard it lots of times, so...
Yeah, no, so it's like another one of those, say, the very sort of DIY, but say it's urgent and off-kilter, as you said, with those slightly, not out-of-tune strings, although they call it that, obviously very much done on purpose. I got, it's quite, because of the use of the word purpose a lot, I got BMBMBM by Black Midi a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's quite, almost like quite similar, because they use, I don't know, that maybe that just stuck in my head because of the constant use of the word purpose, but it's kind of like that, also that very sort of, it's going off into other sort of tangents of... So it's quite Gang of Four as well.
Yeah, I was thinking Gang of Four, Wire, those kind of bands. Yeah.
Very
sort of like really... And... Yeah, definitely.
And, but good. I like that. Short, sweet.
They're just a duo as well, and they make a hell of a racket for a duo.
Oh, really?
So,
that seems to be a big thing not that long ago, and you're now getting sort of ensemblers going on again, so you get lots of people, but there's a couple of sort of bands... few years ago that I was checking out. I can't think who they were now.
I suppose I'll go looking through the the inbox, and then I find, you know, a track, you know, it just stands out to me, and that just stood out to me because it was so like urgent and angry, I suppose, and intense, I guess.
Good stuff though.
Yeah, good. I mean, there's a whole EP, you can check it out on SoundCloud or on Bandcamp, which is hellosscrounge.bandcamp.com. I like the name as well, Scrounge. I also put The Kills and Shellac, maybe, for fans of. Anyway, we're going to crack on, because we only did two songs. We're 20 minutes in, so I'll give Purpose an 8 out of 10.
I was going to say 8. I thought that was really good. I like that.
So what's your next pick, Jim?
Shall we go Loose Fit?
Okay.
I think this is on an EP as well.
Yeah.
I think it's self-titled. Yeah, it is. Sorry, self-titled Loose Fit debut EP. They're a Sydney band. They're on Fat Cat Records. This is Loose Fit with Blackwater.
Loose Fit, what can you tell us about that? I think I sort of got like a, you know, a post-punky kind of groovy new wave feel to the rhythm there. Bit of Slits, bit of early Talking Heads. I quite enjoyed it.
I wrote down in my notes, simplistic but very groovy, brackets, yeah, baby. I don't know what. simplistic but very groovy. But it's all these weird, almost like nightmarish sound effects on the guitar rather than playing, you know, chords or even like a repeated riff, because that's kind of what the bass is doing. There's like almost like the horror, Hammer horror kind of, like, you know, when they pretend it's nails down, you know, or I don't know, it's just like, yeah, sort of the sound of kind of like screeching metal and stuff like that, a nightmarish thing. But the lyrics seem to be sort of like heading down kind of like the like the black dog on your shoulder, sort of looking at a depression sort of thing. It's always someone you're looking around. I don't know what Blackwater does that.
So it's kind of an insidious kind of like rhythm.
Yeah.
You know, like a bit like the Cure video where the spider's going up the wall.
Yeah, and, exactly. You know,
that
yeah.
kind of thing.
That lullaby.
Kind of nightmarish lullaby though.
Yes. But apparently they recorded that, the whole EP, the self-titled EP, in Sydney in one weekend.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is
I like that because it's, you know,
It's about 5 or 6 tracks long, I think. So it's fairly impressive doing all that in one weekend.
And they're from Sydney, aren't they? And there's quite a lot of good Australian bands coming out at the moment, and New Zealand bands like The Baths, Hatchie, I was thinking of before.
Hatchie, yeah.
There's another one. What are they called? Body Type, is it? Body Type. Yeah, they're from Sydney as well. Body Type. They're a good band as well.
You get a lot of bands that sort of almost have that sound. I mean, if you've got the New York sound, or even if they come from the West Coast or whatever, even you like have a sound of a band that's from somewhere like in Europe, especially a Scandinavian sound. They just didn't sound like they came from Sydney. They sound like they come from somewhere dark and wet.
Mm. And also the fact that there's no biography on their Spotify page. And they seem to be quite limited on their socials. They've only got Instagram. So they're kind of like trying to play on that mysterious, you don't know who we are kind of vibe, isn't it? Which can often be a good way of promoting yourself.
Well, yeah, you'd think.
Can be.
They,
or it can go long. Like Lou Fu or whatever.
When I first started listening to it, that they might be named after the Happy Monday song, but I don't think so, actually.
Yeah, Lucifer.
Maybe it's just a baggy shirt.
A bit young for that, unfortunately, you know.
Almost, yeah. Maybe it's their parents' record collection or something. That's a scary thing to say.
Okay.
What should we give that out of 10?
What am I giving that out of 10? Again, I'm on that sort of 7 or 8 kind
seven
of
off.
Precipice.
Seven
yeah. I think the only issue I had with it, I feel like it's just waiting to take off. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
and it doesn't quite take off.
But at least, and it's sort of not too long, but it's about 3.5 minutes. But
it's a cool little song, yeah.
If it was sort of 2 minutes long, it would be a stop and and done. But yeah, you sort of feel like the longer it goes on, you think
talking of long songs. Talking of long songs,
yeah.
Got a bit of BC here from Islet. You've just released their excellent new album called Islet as well, but with an E, Y-E. And that's just come out on Fire Records. And Islet have been around for quite a few years, actually, and I interviewed them quite a few years ago, and they sort of emerged in about 10 years ago now, and they were kind of like a no-wave band, kind of very noisy, very art rock. And with this album, they've kind of gone more down an electronic, experimental path, really. See what you think. This is Islet. They were originally from Cardiff. Now they live in Powers. And this is Geese.
From the outset, it's worth fighting for. Brandish your outrage like a torch. Walk up the intellect and let the valley below. Not the first tear.
Tell the books, tell
That was Islet and Geese from their new album, Islet, on Fire Records Recordings. And they're from Powys, and they're a trio now. They used to be a four-piece, and live, they're just something else live. They're just absolutely bonkers, you know.
Oh, really?
Especially when they were noisier. This album is much more condensed version of their sound, you know. It's much more electronic.
It's quite transcendental.
So yeah, that's like quite ravey almost, that one.
Yeah, but that's what I've written down. One of the first things I wrote down was Hacienda. So there's a very Hacienda sort of dance mix, early 90s sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's quite floaty and almost trance as well.
Yeah, and Emma, who's sort of like, she was the drummer originally. She's now become like the main figure, you know, the main singer in the band.
Oh, okay.
So it's quite interesting the evolution they've sort of been on, really. And it's such a departure from their earlier stuff. Like, and I think it's some of the best stuff they've done. I mean, that track, maybe it is a little bit long. Maybe it is a little bit indulgent. But I kind of really like it because it's just like a voyage, you know, a little mini symphony, really. It goes through these kind of like points, you know, these kind of like synth passages and these kind of like floaty vocals. Yeah, like you say, almost Kate Bush, Bjork kind of stuff.
Yeah, very Bjork. Yeah.
Yeah, so, give your honest opinion now.
I like, because, yeah, like you said, it's sort of slightly issues that it is the length, because it's sort of, like you said, it gets to sort of about 4 minutes and then creeps into the indulgence
side. It probably is.
4 minutes
long.
Is great, and then it sort of just carries on. And it's like, you probably could have finished it, or are you going to go kind of suddenly take off and be epic?
But that's why they're on Fire Records, mate.
Yes.
They're experimental, they're not like, you know, a pop band. Really, they have gotten actually probably a more accessible song called Clouds, which is more like almost, you know, like so it could almost be something off like Ray of Light, Madonna, almost, you know, like William Orbit type stuff, you know. That is quite a pop song, you know. That's like 3 minutes of it, similar sort of thing, you know. But that one I just included because I thought it's like a bit different from the other stuff we've got, you know.
Yeah,
quite guitar-y, isn't it? So it's apparently inspired by the cultural theorist Raymond Williams' novel People of the Black Mountains. And the singer Emma says, I look at these hills and mountains and I think about how I'm not the first. I think about the many thousands of generations that have looked at them and how they are not one continuous people or race, but many in a constant flux. Bit pretentious,
yeah, you can imagine being on top of them, a Welsh mountain, staring across.
Yeah, it's quite naturalistic because the whole album is quite naturalistic. You know, it's kind of like got those kind of like Brian Eno sort of textures, you know, like found sounds. And because it's Emma and Mark who are kind of like the driving force behind it, and they're a couple and they live together in the Black Mountains.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's kind of the, I think that's the inspiration for this album, really. It's
they moved
more,
there recently then, is that where they're...
Yeah, a few years ago, I think.
Okay.
And that's much more that an inspiration for their music now than it was.
Yeah.
Like, they used to be just, like, a real noisy, like, really off-the-wall experience live.
Oh, okay.
One of the best live bands I've seen, you know, really.
So something they probably couldn't mix together necessarily then. Would you be able to have both sides of the band playing?
Yeah, I think they did that at Focus Wales last year. They did, like, an electronic part, like, a quieter part, and then they went into the noisier old stuff, you know. Because if you go back now and listen to their older stuff, it's much more noisy. And just off the wall, you know. Anyway, we've discussed that one to death. So that's Islet and Geese. What would you give it, Jim?
I think maybe because it goes on a little bit too long, I would just give it a 7. I think if they cut it at 4, then you'll be talking maybe sort of 7.5, 8, but we'll call it a 7.
All right. Well, I'm giving it
an 8. Would you want to go
higher? I gave it an 8 because obviously I picked it, so.
No, fair enough. Okay, if you go in that, we'll have to go down the middle and call that 7.5 as well.
All right. So what are you going to choose next, Jim?
Let's go with Sorry and Snakes. So, Sorry, I think most people have probably heard of them. And
they're on Domino Records, aren't they?
They're on Domino, yeah. So, label mates of the Arctic Monkeys. But if anyone sort of follows anything I've written or anything on my social media, I'm probably approaching getting a restraining order put against me because I'm a little bit obsessed. But this is their newest single, so this is Sorry and Snakes.
Spent with you.
my point of view, that was much more like sort of sedate and minimal than some of the stuff I've heard before. Like, it's been more noisy and stuff like that.
Much more upbeat. But, yeah. But that's, I think that might be what they're trying to sort of put out there for this one. It works in relation to the album. I mean, if I was going to criticise them, which I'm loath to do, I'd say it doesn't necessarily translate as a single for me.
No, it's not really singly, is it?
No.
It's not like that other one they had, Starstruck, yeah?
Starstruck from a year or so ago, but the most two recent...
Rock and Roll Star and Right Around the Clock.
Yeah, Right Around the Clock with Rock... Well, Rock and Roll Star was the B-side, but that's going to be on the LP as well. And then they just did more. So they do a lot of... All of them have had videos. All of them... Not all of them have necessarily been dot physical releases, but they're all on the album. The album's about 14 tracks long. So it's quite a big... sprawling opus, and it is brilliant. So I've lived with it for about a month now.
That's good.
I'm a massive fan. As I said, I think it's approaching restraining orders.
They've been around for a couple of years, haven't they? Sort of building up in a presence. I'm sure you wrote about them last year. I'm sure you were talking about them last year.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, they did the Dingwalls last March, I think it was about a year ago now. They did Dingwalls, and that was a brilliant gig. That was packed, and it was so hot in there. And it was a great gig. And then we were sort of anticipating the album to be sort of imminent. And then they were recording, and then it was announced in November. And then it's out in a couple of weeks now, 27th, 925. So that's going to be... I hope it does do big things for them, because it's a brilliant album. But, you know, you never know whether or not people will pick up on a 14-track album. But I hope so, because it's... Yeah.
It's difficult to get heard now, isn't it, if you're a guitar band, really?
I think maybe that's why they're sort of... It's almost because they are quite social media savvy.
Yeah.
More the internet savvy. So they have all these videos, they have all these singles sort of from this album now. They were a bit of radio silence last year up until the end of the year. But it's almost like they're going to drip feed it to a certain degree. They'll have the record of they're releasing it on vinyl.
Yeah, there was some article I read recently, maybe 6 months ago, where they were talking about bands are like releasing more now to keep in the sort of keep your attention and keep kind of building their fan base as they go along, which is an interesting concept, isn't it?
Well, I think I interviewed Terrorvision just before Christmas for another magazine.
Yeah.
I know, sorry. And they were saying, because they're making the comment, they did the Christmas single, they're now going to be sort of drip-feeding songs throughout the year, because they're not going to sing it to an album, because it's better to keep the interest up once it's there. And that's sort of anticipated now. But I think that's almost what a lot of people are doing, because there's a big build-up to an album, but as soon as it's out, it sort of starts to drop off.
I know what you mean. I do know what you mean. They've got a huge tour coming up, April and May.
They were spending a bit of time in the States, but...
South by Southwest has been called off, so they start off April the 26th at Club Ether back in Cardiff, so I might pop along. They've got Nottingham, Leeds, Sheffield, Glasgow, Newcastle, Manchester, Birmingham, Bristol, London, Village Underground on the 7th of May. You might pop along, I'm sure. And then a couple of dates in Europe, Paris and the Netherlands. So hopefully none of those get called off because of the old coronavirus.
COVID-19.
Anyway.
Careful state
of affairs. I'm going to give it a 6, I'm afraid, mate.
A 6?
I didn't think it was... I don't know. I like the video, but I just didn't... The song kind of passed me by a little bit.
No, that's fair enough. It
not their best, I've heard them do.
Of their of the album.
Yeah, maybe makes more sense in the album. What are you giving it? Obviously, you're giving it higher mark because you chose it.
It's going to be. I'll give. No, I think it's fair to say that's a 7.
Yeah.
So we'll probably have to split the difference. So 6.5. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. Yeah, you're saying sorry to your favourite band at the moment.
Yeah, that's who I was saying sorry. Yeah.
All right, mate. This has been God Is in the TV Recommends with Bill Cummings and Jim Orton. Until the next time, keep listening and keep reading.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
See you later.
Hope you like what you heard. So, until the next time, ta-da.